through the 14th.
The Chicago Cubs looking into how one of their 2016 World Series rings ended up for sale. Leland's.com has listed what it says is a 10-karat gold ring that was issued to a team scout. Cubs spokesman Julian Green says they're trying to figure out who is selling the ring and whether it's authentic. As of last night, the highest bid on the World Series ring, $49,000. USA Radio News.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Former White House advisor Steve Bannon is slamming Tennessee Senator Bob Corker for Corker's attacks on social media against President Trump.
Speaking with Fox News' Sean Hannity on Monday, Bannon said that if Corker had any honor or decency, he would step down immediately. The Tennessee Republican traded insults with Trump on Twitter this past weekend. Trump accused Corker of not having the guts to run for re-election, and Corker said Trump is treating the presidency like a reality show and putting the country on the path to World War III.
Reports in Iraq are now saying that ISIS is beginning to crumble and that their fighters are beginning to surrender in large numbers. Correspondent Bill Zinfer takes a look at those reports.
According to Reuters news agency, hundreds of ISIS fighters have surrendered in Iraq in the last week, with one observer suggesting they no longer seem to believe in the cause. ISIS still holds territory along the Iraqi border with Syria, but with U.S.-backed forces closing in Iraq and U.S.-backed and Russian-backed forces gaining ground in Syria, they could soon be forced to surrender as well.
A top Michigan official is facing involuntary manslaughter charges in connection with the Flint water crisis. Dr. Eden Wells is facing charges in connection to an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease which killed at least 12 people. Wells already faces charges of obstruction of justice and lying to police. A spokesman for Michigan's attorney general says the state intends to add involuntary manslaughter and misconduct in office to her other charges. USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Dr. Ed Tick from Soldier's Heart will discuss an upcoming trip to Vietnam. Then Blaine Harden will discuss his book on spying during the Korean War. It's called The King of Spies. Yeah, then we'll cover the Service Academy football games from last weekend. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our Armed America report. Frontlines of Freedom is proud to be a part of the Eisenhower Center After the Impact team. They really do great things for our troops with traumatic brain injury. Yeah, they help NFL players and first responders, too. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Dr. Ed Tick has been a guest on the show several times in the past, as we've covered the wonderful things that a soldier's heart does for our troops. So welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom, Ed.
Thank you, Denny. Thank you, Colonel. I'm honored to be with you and with all our vets and troops.
Ed, take a minute and tell us about your background and the mission of a soldier's heart.
Well, my background is that I actually was not in the military during the Vietnam War. I squeezed through like so many people with a high lottery number, but I wanted to serve. And so immediately at the end of the war, when I finished my master's degree in 1975, the year the war ended, I began working with our recently returned Vietnam veterans. And so I've had much experience even before PTSD was even recognized as a diagnosis in 1980. I have been passionate about addressing the invisible wounds, post-traumatic stress disorder, moral injury, and military sexual trauma for these 40 years and more, and looking for the most comprehensive and holistic ways of healing these wounds and bringing our troops home. My organization, Soldier's Heart, runs trainings and healing retreats all over the country, modeled not only on our modern clinical understanding of PTSD, but on the warrior traditions of the world and how other people's times and places have successfully brought their warriors home without a chronic traumatic breakdown. And that is one of the reasons that I instituted the journeys to Vietnam. I've been leading reconciliation journeys back to Vietnam for our veterans, family members, other survivors, and younger veterans as well since the year 2000. I'll be going first 2 weeks of November this year. We will be there for Veterans Day in International Veterans Day celebrate reconciliation celebration programming with American and Vietnamese veterans of all factions, all coming together for mutual respect, honor, and healing.
That's going to be quite an event. And, folks, Ed will be back on when he gets back from that trip to tell us how that went. That's going to be amazing from about a dozen different perspectives at least. So that's who Ed is. Now, you're about to take a number of vets, or I guess maybe not just vets, a number of people impacted by the Vietnam War to Vietnam. Talk about that.
Yes. Now, this is my 17th trip. I've been doing this annually since 2000. So what we called the 25th anniversary of the war back then. Now, obviously, we're all farther along. But what I'd like to share in this brief time is several matters. One is that we are all looking for significant interventions for post-traumatic stress disorder that really do bring healing, homecoming, peacemaking. And these trips to Vietnam do profoundly transform the way a veteran carries his or her history and the post-traumatic disorder wound. So, for example, some of our veterans find what they did unforgivable. This is not about politics, and we're not arguing politics of the war. The Ken Burns series is doing a good job in exploring that as well as the ground stories. This is about helping our veterans accept and reconcile with their war history and their combat experiences, no matter what their political beliefs. So some of what post-traumatic stress disorder is that it is frozen, horrific imagery in the mind of the veteran. Going back and seeing that Vietnam is green and growing and peaceful again immediately replaces that imagery. Other matters that many of our vets feel in deep grief or moral injury or survivor's guilt about their surviving and whatever their experiences were, the Vietnamese people with whom we meet are universally kind, loving, welcoming, forgiving. And so when our vets meet with them, we go back to the AOs, to the very battlefields people served on. We often meet our vets, meet with vets who are in the same battle, or the civilians in the surrounding area who lost family members or whose homes were damaged. And every single time, the Vietnamese veterans or the civilians welcome our veterans in. They say there's nothing to forgive because you were good warriors doing what warriors should do for their country. You didn't decide to be here. You had to be here. And so we honor you as noble warriors who did the right thing and let go of your pain and your guilt. Regarding survivor's guilt, the Vietnamese also have the concept that they call karma, the Buddhist concept that everything that happens is what has to happen and we can't change the past, but we can live differently in the present. So they also even say about survivor's guilt, it's tragic that we lost people, you lost people, and we grieve them, but don't feel guilty about surviving. It was your karma to survive and to bring your stories back so that you can become a warrior, your people and country can learn from this, and we can all learn together. In the East and in our Judeo-Christian tradition, we might say it was providence rather than karma, but it's the same idea that we're all caught up in historical and universal forces that are bigger than us. And these kind of trips give us the ability to put ourselves in place in history, exchange forgiveness, see that the country and the people have moved on, that there isn't severe damage over there like there is in our minds about it. And Vietnam still is a very physically wounded place from the war. So we do philanthropy projects there. We've built two schools in the Mekong Delta, for example. Our veterans always donate to philanthropy, and so they're doing good where they once had to practice destruction and killing. And so it changes their identities also. And the Vietnamese children say, oh, you're our grandmothers and our grandfathers, our aunts and our uncles who come from the other side of the world, from that country, America, that we love, and you build us schools and you help us recover. So it changes everybody's identity, everybody's feelings about each other. And Scouts Honor, I've done 17 trips, so I've taken over 100 American veterans as well as surviving family members or spouses or children. And every single time there's been significant healing. Often vets come back with their PTSD symptoms gone, sleeping like babies, no more nightmares, no more reason to be afraid, no more fearing whatever, divine punishment in the future or when they die, and really at peace with the experience and in the solidarity with each other and with the Vietnamese people that heals the past in extreme, beautiful ways.
I believe you. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing an upcoming healing trip to Vietnam with Dr. Ed Tick. Ed, there's just no way that can't work.
Go ahead. 2 weeks back in Vietnam proves to be better medicine for most of our veterans with PTSD than decades of the conventional medicines and pharmaceuticals. No offense on that. We need to save our people from the suffering of bad symptomatology, but this is medicine that heals.
You know, I have nothing against drug-type medicine, but it is my opinion we use 100 times more of it than we should have when there's other ways like this that will do it and be lasting and leave a better result on the human being. So,
yes.
Ed, thank you for what you're doing. Before I let you go, tell the audience how people can touch base with A Soldier's Heart.
Yes, my website is www.soldiersheart.net, all is one word, no hyphen, soldiersheart.net. And I do have a few seats left open for this next trip, leaving on Halloween. So if anybody is interested and wants to jump on, give me a shout and we can try to work it out together.
Folks, I can assure you this is absolutely first class. Ed, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your continuing service to our nation's veterans. God bless you, brother. I look forward to our next talk.
Me too. Bless you too, brother. Thank you.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, we'll discuss spying during the Korean War. Then it's Service Academy football time. You've reported for duty to the front lines of freedom. Troops hit the deck and do an easy, slow 30 one-handed push-ups with each hand. I want you lean and mean. I'll be right back. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Women should never walk alone in parks, parking garages, or other secluded areas. Rapists, murderers, and robbers look for the lone walker as it enhances their chance of success. Serial rapists need only one woman and will let two women pass on by. So bring a friend along for your walk. And don't forget to stay alert as you walk. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. Now we're going to discuss an aspect of the Korean War that I didn't have any clue about. Blaine Harden has written a very insightful book on the spying aspect of that war. It's entitled The King of Spies, and it really does focus on a guy who was the King of Spies. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Blaine.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Blaine, tell us about your background. How did you come to learn about Donald Nichols and all that he did? This is an incredible guy.
Well, I'm a longtime Washington Post reporter, and I was covering Northeast Asia and covering North and South Korea for a number of years. I did a book about a North Korean fighter pilot who escaped in 1953. And the way I discovered Donald Nichols is that when this fighter pilot escaped from Pyongyang in September of 1953, he landed his MiG at Gimpo Airport near Seoul, and he jumped out of his MiG and said, "You can have the MiG and take me to your leader." And the person they took him to was Donald Nichols. And it was the fighter pilot who told me about Donald Nichols. He said he was a big, fat American guy who spoke pretty good Korean and who knew everything about the inner workings of the North Korean Air Force, which was rather astonishing to the fighter pilot, who didn't expect to meet an American who spoke Korean and knew the people for whom he worked.
Well, that makes sense that you would find that. That's a logical way to learn about this guy. And
a surprising one. And what's interesting about Nichols is he was more or less lost to American history. In the late 1990s, some very good military historians began writing a few things about Nichols. But they scratched the surface. They could not get his military service record, and they didn't talk to his relatives or the men he served with, both on the American side and on the South Korean side. I found all the records, talked to all the people, and uncovered a story that is new to history.
And it had to be that every time you learned one more thing, you found two more things you wanted to learn about, that it was a never-ending path.
Well, it's true. With this, you know, I'm a newspaper reporter, and my job is to go out and find things out and try to verify them and see what else I can learn. And in the 2.5 years I worked on this book, every time I sort of entered a dark room and turned a corner and turned on a light, there was something new and amazing and often appalling about Donald Nichols.
Yeah, he wasn't an angel. So I suppose if somebody built a monument to him, they'd want to tear it down. I'm being facetious there. but how did he do this? I mean, as you mentioned, he's big. He certainly would. Nobody would mistake him for a Korean. And yet he penetrated just about everything, didn't he?
Well, he had sort of a typical American attitude of, I can do anything. Even though he had only a seventh-grade education and only 6 weeks of training as a counterintelligence agent, he arrived in Korea in 1946 at a time where there was a big vacuum to be filled. There were very few Americans who spoke Korean and who were really interested in understanding the place. So he learned Korean, and he made contacts with people at the highest level of the South Korean government. This was a government that was more or less a puppet of the United States for a number of years. And the leader of that government was Syngman Rhee, a man who was 70 years old and who was rather an obstreperous puppet. He didn't do what he was told by the Americans. But Nichols became his friend, and it was a very odd friendship because Nichols was only 23. And they found favor in each other's eyes because they could do each other favors. Nichols passed on information to Syngman Rhee, and Syngman Rhee passed on intelligence information to Nichols. Very, very high-level stuff that made Nichols look very good in the eyes of his bosses in Tokyo. And Nichols rose rapidly up through the ranks from master sergeant all the way to major. In the first year of the Korean War, in part because he was delivering goods for the Air Force that no other American could deliver.
Well, if that won't make you popular in time of war, I can't think of anything that would.
He was described as a one-man war, the best intelligence agent in the Far East. And this is by the generals who were running the Korean War. He was really, really good and really brave. However, he had a dark side, and the dark side is this. He became very close to Syngman Rhee, and Syngman Rhee, besides being the president of South Korea, was involved in a very dirty civil war against suspected communists in South Korea. And Rhee and his people killed, often massacred and shot in the back of the head and buried in trenches, tens of thousands of civilians that they suspected of sympathizing with North Korea. Nichols trained some of those police, and he was very much involved as a recipient of intelligence gathered from torture. He said that he had severed heads in gasoline cans in his office. And I found a picture, a U.S. Army photograph, of him standing next to a severed head in a bucket. And towards the end of his life, when he was looking back, he said that if he had had more education — he dropped out of school when he was in seventh grade. He grew up very poor during the Depression. He said if he had had a better education, if he'd had more leadership training from the Air Force and from the Army, he would have probably been a better soldier. He said that the U.S. Air Force gave him a legal license to murder, and he said that he would have been more judicious in using that license had he been better trained and better supervised. He was not well-trained. He was self-trained, and he was virtually unsupervised. I found records showing that he reported only to the general who led the 5th Air Force, not to a major or colonel. At some point in 1957, in his 11th year there, the Americans — and when I say the Americans, I'm not sure if it came from the U.S. Embassy or it came from the U.S. Air Force hierarchy — but the U.S. Air Force came for Nichols. He had a secret base outside of Seoul where he was the commander and had been for a number of years. And it was his fiefdom. In any case, Air Force MPs came for him in the evening one night and took him out of the base in a straitjacket. And he soon was deposited in the psych ward of a military hospital in Japan, and then quickly transferred to Eglin Air Force Base Hospital, where he was also put in the psych ward. While he was there, he was given more than 50 rounds of electroshock therapy. He told his relatives during the treatment and afterwards that the Air Force tried to erase his mind.
Wow.
Then he was thrown out of the Air Force.
That's amazing. The book is called King of Spies, folks, and we're going to give away a copy of it at the end of the show. Blaine, if people want to buy a copy, how do they do it? Amazon, something like that?
Yeah, it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, all the and also independent bookstores I can recommend very highly. No, it's published by Viking Penguin Random House, so it's everywhere.
And it's an amazing book. I think we just gave you a taste of what this guy was like. Blaine, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. And thank you for
my pleasure.
Thank you for revealing the service of this guy who served our nation so well. I appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, it's time for Service Academy Football with football co-host Quentin Roberts. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops do 20 pull-ups, all the way up and all the way down, nice and slow. Then take a break. Then stand at ease, but stay in the area. Spartan Nash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Nash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Nash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all of our facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel 50 million miles each year.
Learn more at honorandremember.org.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're awfully small. I want to be more.
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray. Rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
This is my neighborhood in flames.
The despair heard in the voice of a California woman whose home was burning as part of the California fires. Nearly a dozen people now confirmed dead. More than 100 are missing. Thousands of structures have burned, like the home of this woman.
I just kind of went inside and I collected, you know, all my photographs, grabbed my computer, grabbed my stuff out of my safe, and my dog and my son was able to get in, so he helped me pack up some stuff, and then we just kind of took off.
South Korean officials say North Korean hackers have stolen classified documents, including plans by U.S. and South Korean military experts to fight North Korea should the North Koreans make some kind of an attack. South Korea's special forces plans have also been compromised, along with information on South Korean power plants that North Korean hackers could then break into. USA Radio News.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're awfully small. I want to be more.
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray. Rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honored Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, troops. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who has died while serving our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. Check honorandremember.org. Troops, it's Army, Navy, and Air Force football time in full swing. They're fighting on to victory. Joining me now is our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. Last week, all three teams played, Quentin, and two of them did all right.
They sure did, Denny. I tell you, we are in full swing with the Service Academy football season this year, and it is another dandy. It really is. As Texas El Paso fought with the Black Knights of Army, the Tulsa Hurricanes came away with another defeat with Navy, and Air Force suffered a defeat against University of New Mexico Lobos.
So we're in one of those situations where sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, right?
Yes, but in the case of the Black Knights, here, Denny, they're winning a lot more than they're losing these days. They are 3-0 at home, including the victory over the Texas El Paso Miners at 35-21. Texas El Paso got on the board first, going up 7-0 in the first quarter. But in the second quarter, Army was able to outscore Texas El Paso 14-7. But they went into halftime deadlocked. But in the second half, it was all Black Knights. They came out in the third quarter, put up 14 points, finished strong with another touchdown in the fourth quarter to pull away and beat the Miners 35-21.
Well, I was sure glad they did, even though I do have a degree from Texas El Paso. There was never any doubt. I was cheering those Black Knights on.
Well, you may have a degree from Texas El Paso, but you've got a career from Army of West Point. So,
I got a heart from them. Yeah, you got that right, Pat.
That's right. So, and then as we look at Navy, the midshipmen traveled to Tulsa, and they started off again behind, just like Army did. A lot of parallels in that is Tulsa jumped on top of them 14-0, but Navy got the running game going in the second quarter, put up two touchdowns behind quarterback Zach Abey, and they, too, went into halftime tied at 14. But it was all midshipmen in the second half. They only put up a field goal in the third quarter, but two touchdowns in the fourth as they were able to put the Golden Hurricanes away 31-21.
That must have been quite a game, too. These are not ho-hum boring games, are they?
No, you know, these running offenses in today's day and age of spread and pass and basketball on grass, our Service Academy teams, of course, are running teams. They all have as their basis the triple option. But the triple option doesn't mean it's just boring 3 yards in a cloud of dust. The Army and Navy specifically are among the leaders in the country in terms of their rushing games. And what it does is it protects your defense when you play a ball control style of offense. Your defense isn't out on the field that as long, and so when they do get out on the field, they're able to be fresher. They're able to stay on their assignments and of course, get off the field on third down. That's what everybody wants to do. Now, Air Force wasn't quite as successful at it as they dropped their third straight to the New Mexico Lobos. 38-56. You know, New Mexico has been a bane of their very existence here in the past couple of years since Bob Davie took over there. New Mexico jumped out 7-0, but Air Force came back with a flurry in the second quarter, put up 21 points and went up into the half leading 21-14. So it was already a lot of points scored. In the second half, though, they just could not stay with the Lobos. The Lobos put up 42 points in the second half, 21 in the third quarter, 21 in the fourth quarter, and Air Force put up 17. But, you know, it's kind of like bringing a knife to a gunfight. They just didn't have enough ammunition. And the New Mexico team just pulled away, especially they were led on the ground. They had Richard McCorley with 179 yards, whereas Arian Werthmann was Air Force's top rusher with 90. So, you know, it's a tough day for Air Force, but the game, Denny, we go to the first leg of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy. It's the next game for both Air Force and Navy, where Air Force travels to Navy Marine Corps Stadium, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, October 7th. That's 15:30 for many of our listeners. And they can tune in to see the 50th meeting of the Air Force-Navy game. Now, while not quite as storied as the Army-Navy game, this game always really has some tremendous elements to it. Now, Navy has won the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy 10 out of the last 14 years. But, of course, Air Force has won more Commander-in-Chief's Trophy than Army or Navy. And the winner of the Navy-Air Force game has won the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy every year since 1997. What do I always say? Time of possession and turnovers are key for our three teams. The winner of the turnover battle has won the Air Force-Navy game in each of the past 5 years. So that's an example of just how key it is. The presenting sponsor, of course, is going to be USAA, and it should be a festive occasion at Navy Marine Corps Stadium in beautiful Annapolis, Maryland. Festive, of course, is more festive if Air Force is able to break that three-game slide and come home with a victory.
And one of the things about when the service academies play each other is, yeah, the record going in is important, but we all manage to pull out just a little bit more when we're playing one of our brothers, don't we?
We do, Denny. And you know, Air Force has played some tough teams, so they're 1-3, whereas Navy is undefeated. Navy's on a roll right now, and so Navy is favored in this game, of course. And so it really is up to Air Force coach Troy Calhoun to try to right the ship, and it's especially after beating Navy last year. Navy lost to both Army and Air Force last year for the first time, wow, in eons. And so they are looking at this as the first leg of their redemption battle and, of course, redeeming the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy as well.
Well, and they will be fighting hard, and they are a heck of a good team with a great coach, but they're going to have serious competition. And I know who you're going to be rooting for, and I'm probably going to be joining you.
That's right, Denny. This is the 1 week where Army and Air Force can both say, beat Navy.
Amen, bro. Now, speaking of Army, Army's playing Rice this week.
Yes. And Rice is playing a little better football. You know, again, Army is, I think they are really turning the corner. They're around the corner, and now they're in every game. And so, you know, Rice is going to be a tough game. It's going to be a road game. But Army is favored in the game by about 13.5. So, you know, I think while Rice is a tough team and out of Texas, they're 1-4 this year. So they have not exactly lit it up. And so we expect the Black Knights to come home with another victory. But I tell you, it's always tough when you're on the road. But I think Army is really built. Their defense is playing good football, and defense travels. Even when the offense is struggling a little bit, the defense can keep you in the game. And I think that will be the case against Rice. And if you look at Rice's, you know, they really haven't scored many points. Their offense has been tough. They scored 10 against Pitt, 7 against Florida International, 3 against Houston, and 7 against Stanford. So they're not exactly a juggernaut, so I expect the Black Knights to bring home a victory in this one.
So here's looking forward to next weekend when both you and I will be crowing about our alma maters.
That's right, Denny. That's what we're talking about. And next time we speak, we're both going to be singing our alma maters.
And, folks, if you ever heard me sing, you won't want to listen to that.
Well, we may be singing them to ourselves.
Yes,
but we'll be singing them.
So, friends, at this point on every show, Quentin and I will be reviewing the previous week's games and talking about this week's games. Thank you, Quentin, for your insights. I'm glad we're teammates, bro.
Oh, man, my pleasure, Denny. This has been a great season. Looking forward to the rest of the season.
Amen, brother. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You have reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights, maybe 50 pounds, and do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Money causes stress and uneasiness in our closest relationships, according to Bank of America's new Friends Again report. In fact, more than 50% of the population has seen a friendship end over money, and it is not always a lot of money that will cause a relationship rift. Nearly 40% of consumers say they would end a friendship over $100 or less. But there are ways we can salvage a relationship before it goes south over an IOU. Dr. Melanie Ross Mills, relationship expert.
Talking about money doesn't always have to be awkward. If you follow some simple tips, having an honest conversation is the best way to avoid these issues. Coordinate shared expenses in advance to avoid unexpected spending. Communicate openly with your friends about money owed and use mobile apps like the Bank of America app for a simple way to send, request, and receive money from friends, no matter where they bank.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/friendsagain.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. The Eisenhower Center and After the Impact program really help our troops who are suffering from traumatic brain injury. Any vet with this problem should check this program. Money is not an issue here. These folks really want to help our injured vets. Check EisenhowerCenter.com. Okay, team, let's open the mailbag. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at Denny@FrontlinesOfFreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Brad from Oklahoma wrote that he really appreciated your blog on NFL players taking a knee. He's using that perspective a lot among his acquaintances.
Thanks, Brad. I noted on that blog that I borrowed the words from a Navy vet. I trust you enjoyed my comments by the colonel today. Everyone in America has the right to free speech. We vets have defended that right with our lives, but that doesn't make the speaker not responsible for the consequences of his or her words. Free speech just guarantees you can't be criminally prosecuted for it.
Mary agrees with your position that we have to do something soon to North Korea, but she doesn't see anything happening. Do you know what's going on?
No, Mary, I don't. Fortunately, we no longer have a president who tells our enemies what we're going to do militarily. I hope and pray that our excellent leaders have a plan and are implementing it. But no, I don't know any more than you do. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, I was thinking about the fact that this January is the 50th anniversary of the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. Indeed, all of the Vietnam stuff will be seen in the media as in preparation for that anniversary. Well, 50 years ago right now, I was the company commander of a rifle company in the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. We were just back from helping in the Detroit riots, and we'd been told that our whole division would be deploying to Vietnam in December. I had one young trooper who was a total goof-off. We were in the process of having him thrown out of the Army as a misfit. The paperwork was being processed. Then we were told that all troops must be granted 2 weeks of pre-deployment leave, and he had to get it too just in case he wasn't discharged. We started sending people on leave. We delayed goof-off's leave, believing that my authorization to discharge him would come down soon. Finally, we had to send him on leave. While he was gone, the discharge paperwork did arrive. Of course, just to show us that he would never do what we told him, he came back from his leave 3 days late. The first sergeant and I had discussed this. When he came in, he was brought before me and had a smirk on his face. I produced the paperwork for his discharge and went over it with him. Then I told him if he'd come back on time, he would have been discharged by now. And then I tore up the paperwork and threw it in the wastebasket. He was shocked beyond belief. Then his platoon sergeant and squad leader showed up. I told Goofoff now he was going to Vietnam. Further, he was going to have the worst and most dangerous jobs available there. And finally, if he disobeyed a single order, I'd have him court-martialed and jailed in Vietnam. You know, I didn't have to court-martial him in Vietnam, so I guess he decided to grow up. He certainly wasn't the first or last person to grow up while in uniform. Score one for the good guys.
You know, Colonel, that reminds me of Dr. James Dobson and his tough love.
You know, that's a good aspect, though I really wanted to kick that tough love into him.
But it worked.
It worked. Now it's time for military history. Lead out, man.
On 13 October 1775, the Continental Congress authorized construction and administration of the first American naval force, the precursor of the United States Navy.
So this is sort of another Navy birthday, sort of, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, and sailors are always looking for reasons to celebrate.
That's true. So on 10 October 1845, the United States Naval Academy opened in Annapolis, Maryland, with 50 midshipman students and 7 professors. Known as the Naval School until 1850, the curriculum included mathematics and navigation, gunnery and steam, chemistry, English, natural philosophy, and French. The Naval School officially became the U.S. Naval Academy in 1850, and a new curriculum went into effect, requiring midshipmen to study at the academy for 4 years and to train on board ships each summer. That's the basic format that remains at the academy to this day.
You know, I could have been a sailor, except I sink.
That's true.
I could have been a submarine, though.
Well, that's true, but you had trouble getting you up off the bottom.
That's true. That's true. On 12 October 1945, during World War II, Private First Class Desmond Doss of Lynchburg, Virginia, was presented the Congressional Medal of Honor for outstanding bravery as a medical corpsman, the first conscientious objector in American history to receive the nation's highest military award.
You know, a significant number of Congressional Medals of Honor go to medics because they're the ones when you and I are getting deeper into our foxhole, get out of theirs and go help somebody who got hurt.
I love medics. I always have.
Amen, brother. And on 10 October 1969, the U.S. Navy transferred 80 River Patrol boats to the South Vietnamese Navy in the largest single transfer of naval equipment since the war began. This was part of the ongoing Vietnamization program, which had been announced by President Nixon at Midway in June. Under this program, the U.S. sought to turn over responsibility for fighting to the South Vietnamese so U.S. troops could be withdrawn from Vietnam. The plan included a massive transfer of weapons and equipment to the South Vietnamese and a stepped-up training program by U.S. advisors designed to help prepare the South Vietnamese armed forces to stand alone against their communist opponents. The transfer of the vessels by the U.S. Navy was only part of the effort. that also included modernization of the South Vietnamese Air Force, new tanks, artillery pieces, and other weapons and equipment for the Army of South Vietnam.
You know, Colonel, I've never understood. I mean, you were a Vietnam vet and an officer. Maybe you know. I mean, we gave them the tools. We gave them the equipment. We trained them. But it's almost like they didn't have the will to carry through.
Well, part of this buildup was, and we will continue to resupply you as you need things.
Mm-hmm.
But we had an election. We got a new Congress. And the new Congress didn't want to spend another dime. So the promises we gave them that you go fight when you need new tanks, weapons, more equipment, more ammunition, we didn't keep that promise.
Mm. Shame. On 12 October 2000 at 12:15 p.m. local time, a motorized rubber dinghy loaded with explosives blew a 40-by-40-foot hole in the port side of the USS Cole, a Navy destroyer that was refueling at Aden, Yemen. 17 sailors were killed and 38 wounded in the attack, which was carried out by two suicide terrorists alleged to be members of Saudi exile Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda terrorist network.
Well, we had interviewed the skipper of that ship on this show a couple of years ago. Terrorist attack, it was. We should have figured it out by then that we were at war with somebody, but we still haven't declared war.
It was a terrible waste of a dinghy.
And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
In Killeen, Texas, a man was confronted and attacked by a female assailant over a parking dispute. As the man attempted to defuse the situation, she escalated it with a gun. The man was forced to defend himself and drew his concealed firearm. He wounded her during the altercation, and she was later taken to a hospital and pronounced dead. Police determined the incident to be a case of self-defense, and the man was released without charges.
Thanks, Colonel. This death was just plain stupid, senseless, and totally avoidable. There's so much we can discuss here, but first let's start with this generalization. Nothing good happens in a big city parking lot at 2:49 a.m. Let's face it. That's when most of the crime happens. Why? Because that's when people with nefarious intent are out and about. Criminals, drug addicts, and alcoholics tend to be night people because that's when the party happens. And we know that people are not in their right mind when high or drunk. So if you can avoid being out in public past 11 p.m., then by all means do so. Most honest, law-abiding working families are home sleeping at that time so we can go to work the next day and be productive members of society. Second, this woman's poor judgment and temper led to her own demise. From a certain point of view, she killed herself and signed her own death warrant. People in their right mind, exercising good judgment, do not brandish handguns when someone takes their parking spot. In most societies, that's considered rude, but also justifies the victim to use deadly force to defend themselves. Third, it's important to note that the male victim tried to de-escalate and talk her out of it. This was risky on his part. When someone points a gun at you, the time for talk is over. It takes a split second to press the trigger and end your life. Don't take that chance. The moment you see the gun pointed at you, take the threat seriously. It doesn't matter if the assailant is a man or woman. In my experience, many women shoot equal to or better than most men, so they are more than capable of ending your life. Don't give them a break simply because they are female. And last, never get into verbal debate with a stranger. Verbal arguments can quickly escalate to deadly confrontations. When you are armed, you must become the most polite person on the planet. All in all, this man did what he had to do to survive, and that's why no charges were filed against him. As you go about your daily life, always remember to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Good point. Do we know if that lady was legally carrying?
It didn't say. I looked all over the internet and I couldn't find it.
I'll bet she wasn't. We have two books to give away this week. The first is Bradley Farrar's God in America. The second is Blaine Hayden's King of Spies. To get in on the drawing, email me, one email for each book you're seeking, denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put God and America or King of Spies in the subject line. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Ambassador John Bolton will join us to discuss our very confusing overseas challenges. Then Frontlines of Freedom contributor Laura Cheerio will join us to discuss traumatic brain injury. Specifically, we're going to review the symptoms, since most people don't know what they are. Then we're going to have a Vietnam vet join us to specifically critique Ken Burns' Vietnam documentary. Of course, we'll also discuss the results of this weekend's Service Academy football games.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And a few of your friends at Guard, KP, or other duties that force you to miss any part of this show. Hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
This is my neighborhood. Flames.
The despair heard in the voice of a California woman whose home was burning as part of the California fires. Nearly a dozen people now confirmed dead. More than 100 are missing. Thousands of structures have burned, like the home of this woman.
I just kind of went inside and I collected, you know, all my photographs, grabbed my computer, grabbed my stuff out of my safe, and my dog, and my son was able to get in, so he helped me pack up some stuff, and then we just kind of took off.
South Korean officials say North Korean hackers have stolen classified documents, including plans by U.S. and South Korean military experts to fight North Korea should the North Koreans make some kind of an attack. South Korea's Special Forces plans have also been compromised, along with information on South Korean power plants that North Korean hackers could then break into. USA Radio News.
Are you a football bettor? If so, you've definitely seen the sports gambling movie that Hollywood made called Two for the Money, starring Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey. As you know, it's all about the world's most successful professional sports handicapper, Brandon Lang, the legend who's a documented 21-3 lifetime with his Super Bowl picks. Hollywood only makes movies about winners. And when it comes to betting football, there's no bigger winner than Brandon Lang. Oscar winner Matthew McConaughey played Brandon Lang in the movie. But the real Brandon Lang can make you money tonight absolutely free. Get his best bet, along with those of his seven top handicappers, for free. That's a $700 value for free. You pick the day you want to win. Tonight, Saturday in college football, Sunday in the NFL, it's your call. Simply text the word FREE to 30838 to get all eight winners for free. No strings attached. Again, text the word FREE to 30838. Win now. Text FREE to 30838.
Clark County, Nevada Sheriff Joe Lombardo told reporters it's possible the gunman in the Las Vegas shooting planned to leave the hotel, as it appeared he turned.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
This is my neighborhood in flames.
The despair heard in the voice of a California woman whose home was burning as part of the California fires. Nearly a dozen people now confirmed dead. More than 100 are missing. Thousands of structures have burned, like the home of this woman.
I just kind of went inside and I collected, you know, all my photographs, grabbed my computer, grabbed my stuff out of my safe, and my dog and my son was able to get in, so he helped me pack up some stuff, and then we just kind of took off.
South Korean officials say North Korean hackers have stolen classified documents, including plans by U.S. and South Korean military experts to fight North Korea should the North Koreans make some kind of an attack. South Korea's special forces plans have also been compromised, along with information on South Korean power plants that North Korean hackers could then break into. USA Radio News.
Are you a football bettor? If so, you've definitely seen the sports gambling movie that Hollywood made called Two for the Money.